and impartations of truth that will transform our lives for the better forever. In Jesus' holy name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I guess you missed the announcement about moving up. So if you would, come on, let's go. Yeah, come on. We don't want you on the back row. Come on. There's a lot of seats up here. Come on down. Hallelujah. Come on up. Fire's in the front. Amen. So we got to get in the habit of sitting up front, sitting up close. Amen. We're making room for growth, right? Amen. People are growing and going and all that kind of stuff. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians, the second chapter. It's in your handout there. In the New King James Version, verse 9, it says, Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And so we've been talking about using the name. Are you using the name? And so use is determined about your effectiveness in dealing with different things. Use has to do with you dealing with using the name against your enemies in your petitions, and your prayers getting answered, and your praise and worship, and you spending time in the presence of God. Amen. And so that name is supposed to be, was given to him, a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, both of those in heaven and those in earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Glory of God the Father. Amen. So we've asked the question last Wednesday night, and we'll ask it again. Are you using the name? How are you using the name? How effective are you using the name? Amen. This is not a religious cliche. A token or a rabbit's foot. We'll find as we continue to meditate and do your own personal research through Scripture on the name of Jesus, that it's God has given us through Jesus a legal right to use the name of Jesus, and we would call it in legal terms a power of attorney. You've got a power of attorney. In other words, you represent Jesus on behalf of kingdom business here on the earth by use of his name. His name represents everything he is, was, and will ever be. Praise the Lord. So at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, both of those in heaven, of those in the earth, and those under the earth. King James made reference to beings. So beings has to do with spirit beings and human beings, or any type of thing that's being. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 6, it says, God, who at sundry times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom we have he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, not just better, but so much better than the angels, and as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than the angels. For to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. But again, he brings the firstborn into the world, and he says, let all the angels worship him. Because this was the Son of God. He had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So we kind of covered last week this concept, or this idea that you need to embrace in truth, that the more excellent name of Jesus came by three means. Jesus' name is great because he inherited a great name. He inherited from his Father. His name is great because of his conquests. His conquests. In other words, he conquered death, hell, and the grave. Jesus spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in the cross. Amen. So he conquered. He is our conqueror, conquering king. His name is great because it was conferred upon him. Amen. Because it was highly exalted because of his perfect humility and perfect obedience to the Father. We know that the scripture says that he did not sin, neither was any guile found a name which is above every name. So in other words, through his complete obedience and the fulfillment of his God-ordained assignment, he was conferred, the name of Jesus was conferred upon him. Everybody say conferred upon him. So the measure of the Lord Jesus Christ's ability is the measure of the value of that name. I'll say it again. The measure of the Lord Jesus Christ's ability is measured in the value of that name. So, and all that is invested in that name belongs to us. You guys can come on up front. We told everybody earlier. So don't gravitate to the back. Come on up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just come on up, come on up, come on up, come on up, come on up. There's a couple of rows with some empty seats in it. Praise the Lord. Brother Lou, just Francis, make sure they got handouts. Praise the Lord. Don't wait for me to tell you. Go ahead and move. Get it to them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. His name is great because of his conquests. His name is great because it was conferred upon him. God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every other name. So what name are you thinking about right now? What would you call something that's bothering you, that has been bugging you right now? Come on, give me some feedback. Okay, shout it out to me. Any name, anything, anyone, just be nice. Don't give us their last name if it's somebody. All right, give me a name. Come on, shout it out to me. Y'all shout it out to me. What's a name that's been bothering you? Arthritis. Sickness. Okay, that's a general name, but any specific name? Come on now. Diabetes. Okay, thank you. Any other name? Cancer. Any other name anybody can shout out at me? Allergies. Okay. Money. Okay. Money. Debt. Yeah. Lack. Right. Insufficiency. What about loneliness? Well, some people suffer from loneliness. Depression. Discouragement. Right. Isolation. Yeah. Okay. So he's given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee, every name has to bow to the name of what? Jesus. Now, until you get a revelation of that, you don't value the name enough. Now, we all as Christian believers may appreciate, we may value the name of Jesus, but until you see the name of Jesus above any and every other name that you're facing, we don't value that name enough to use it correctly. And so we're talking about, are we using the name? And then how are you using the name? Because we know anything, if you don't understand its purpose, there's a potential for abuse to happen. We call it two spectrums, abuse or misuse. So misuse would be treating Jesus' name of less value or invaluable, of no worth. In other words, the scriptures give us clear indication that God invested his great plan of redemption in the person of Jesus Christ, and you cannot separate a person from their name. Jesus and his name are one. Are you here with me tonight? And so if Jesus and his name are one, that means his name represents all who he is, all who he was, is, and will ever be. He can't separate from that name. And he, the person of Jesus, was given this excellent name, great name, because he inherited it from his father, because of his conquests and what he did by defeating death, hell, and the grave, and it was conferred on him because he was perfectly obedient, completely obedient. He was obedient unto the death of the cross. He fulfilled the substitutionary work, the sacrificial work, as the Lamb of God, representing you and me for all of our sins. He did not sin. Neither was any guile found in his mouth. He lived a perfect, sinless, spotless life. And that name of high honor was conferred upon him. Wherefore God has highly exalted him. Could you put that up again? Philippians 2:9. And given him a name above every name. Now let me put it where the litmus test is. For you and me, we have to see the name of Jesus above every other name that's coming against you. We have to conceive and believe and receive that Jesus' name is higher than debt, poverty, lack, disease, sickness, arthritis, diabetes, hypertension. Come on now, loneliness. Come on now, defeat and failure. Sinful temptations. You got to see that name above that. Amen. Family problems, whatever the case may be. Amen. So I'll say it again. It's in your handout, the second, third bullet there. The measure of the Lord Jesus Christ's ability is the measure of the value of the name of that name. Now, if you mismeasure it, if you undermeasure it, if you devalue that name, if you don't appreciate the name or you depreciate the name, then your value of Jesus' name is no more than a religious cliche or what we say a lucky rabbit's foot. It won't do you any good. Because if you misuse the name in that context, you devalue it. And if you abuse the name, that means you degrade it. You dishonor it. How do you misuse the name? How do you abuse that name? Not misuse, upon abuse. Well, people use the name when they get upset sometimes. Now, I know we're not talking to people that do that in here, but you guys know what I'm talking about. They get upset and they say, Jesus Christ. You dishonored the name. You abused it. Isn't that right? Or they get upset or frustrated and say, oh, Lord Jesus. As an expression that doesn't exalt Christ or esteem him, you express him in lesser terms than honor. That name is holy. That name is powerful. That name is great. We just sung about the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. Not just exalted him, the person, and given him the name, not a name. Are you listening to me? People say, well, I can pray in this name. I can pray for Jesus' sake, or I can do this stuff around the corner and around the bend, around the bush. No, you pray in the name. It's the name. He was given the name. Not a name, because there's no other name higher. the name above, which is above every what? Every name. Are you listening to me? And all that is invested in that name. So you got to see the Father, as we talk about this in the next several weeks, is see the Father has invested a lot in that name, great value in that name, and it doesn't belong to us. He gave that name, the name of Jesus. It belongs to us. For Jesus gave us unqualified use of his name. Legally, spiritually, Jesus gave us the power of attorney, the legal right to use his great name. We got a legal right to use the name. Amen. So some people don't see prayer on legal basis or legal terms. Now we'll see it. We'll look at it again when we talk about prayer because we're just kind of reviewing a little bit from last week. He gave us a legal right to use a name. The name is above every other name, so it's guaranteed to work. It's guaranteed to get results. So are you using the name of Jesus against that name that's coming against you or name that's been bothering you perhaps the last couple of weeks or last couple of months? Now, we're not going to read the scriptures in Ephesians or Colossians because of time, because we're going to be getting down to the bottom of scripture, but we're going to talk about the little inputs there. Our Father God made this investment for the benefit of the church. That's the great mystery of the kingdom. See, you can't pray in Buddha's name, Muhammad's name, Hare Krishna's name. Those folks are dead. He's not. Come on now. Now, you think about the legal document that Jesus and the Father cut for us. And the Bible says in Hebrews, we're not going to turn there because of time. The Bible says that in the testament that comes forth, he said there must be, it's required in the legal process that there's a death of the testator. So when a person passes away, there's usually the will and testament, last will and testament. Well, Jesus is the testator or testator, however you want to pronounce it. He's a testator. He died already, but he rose again and stands in our place as our advocate. Legally, that's a legal term. That means he's advocating and testifying that you get the rest of it, what belongs to you. Because none of us in this room will sit in a lawyer's office and hear a reading of a will if it's an estate. Some of us have lost our loved ones or parents and has been in that environment where they've read the will. And that's legal. And you don't walk in that room saying, well, I don't know if that belongs to me. It's been read. It's enforced now since that person has died. We got to see that with Jesus, that he's already died, and his will and testament is the New Testament or the New Covenant, the better covenant, established on better promise, for us to partake of. Not leave stuff on the table and let stuff just continue to harass us and hinder us. But on that table is the name. It's the name. And as we said before, it's like a blank check that has been signed and authenticated or authorized, and we're told to fill it in. Hence, the subject tonight is using the name of Jesus. Some of us have been filling in, and I think too many times we fill in a dollar. When there is much more than a dollar of value in our inheritance. Well, just help me Let me hold on, Lord, and help me deal with this, Lord, instead of getting delivered from it completely. We undervalue the name. Are y'all here today? So the Father God has made this investment for the benefit of the church. He made this name on which the church has a right to draw for our every need. Now think about that. Highlight that phrase. Are you drawn on that name for your every need? He has given to Jesus the name that has within it the fullness of the Godhead, the wealth of the eternities, the love of the heart of the Father, and that name is given to us. Everybody say, I have a legal right, a God-given right to use the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, help me see the value, the worth, the scope, the height, the length, the breadth of the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah, hallelujah. See, we have a right to use the name of Jesus against our enemies, in our petitions, in our praises and worship. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do, do it in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to the Father through him. Now we see that using the name in prayer. Using the name in prayer. Let's turn to John 16, 23 and 24. You can put that up, please. I'd appreciate it. John 16, 23, 24. Now let's read it. 23. Let's read it together. Ready? Read. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Now, what did he say? He said, ask the Father in my name. Jesus said, I will endorse that so that the Father will give it to you. You don't pray to Jesus. We often said that. You can praise him. You can exalt him. You can worship him. Amen. You can love on him. But you don't pray to him. He said, when I go away, he was telling his disciples then, when I go away, ask the Father in whose name? In my name. Amen. He will give it you. E.W. Kenyon said this. I'm reading a statement, a quote from him. He said, this puts prayer in a purely legal basis, for he has given us the legal right to use his name. As we take up our privileges and rights in the new covenant and pray in the name of Jesus' name, it passes out of our hands into the hands of Jesus. He then assumes the responsibility of that prayer. Now, prayer is conducting legal business with God. A petition is like a government grant that has been written. But it's written in the realm of the Spirit. It's been submitted to the government of God called the kingdom of God. The process of submission is to the Father in Jesus' name. Are you listening to me? And when Jesus' name causes that prayer petition, if it's according to the word, according to God's will for your life, then it's qualified to be heard and granted. And his name authenticates and authorizes that prayer to be answered. That puts prayer on a legal business, guaranteed. So you can go back and say, well, wait a minute, Lord, what's happened to this? We prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. It's 100% guaranteed. There's no wiggle room in there. The only reason it's not answered is not prayed right, prayed wrong, amen, or it wasn't in God's will and plan for your life, specifically directed by the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God. Amen. But the word says, if we ask anything according to his will, well, he told us how to ask. Right here. So we ought to have filled up prayer journals with prayer prayed, prayer answered. Prayer prayed, prayer answered. Are you listening to me? E.W. Kennedy goes on to say that he then assumes the responsibility of that prayer, and we know that Jesus said, Father, I thank you that you hear me, and I always know that you hear me always. In other words, we know that the Father always hears Jesus, and when we pray in Jesus' name, it is though Jesus himself were doing the praying. He takes our place. This puts prayer not only on legal grounds, but makes it a business proposition. When we pray, we take Jesus' place here to carry out his will, and he takes our place before the Father. Amen. So Jesus not only gives us the use of his name in New Covenant prayer, but he declares that the prayer prayed in his name will receive special attention. In Matthew 18, 19 and 20, if you can turn there, Matthew 18, 19 and 20, Matthew 18, 19 and 20, 19 and 20. We're going to read those as soon as we get them up here. Okay. Again, I say unto you that if two of you agree on earth, you can read with me, concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them of my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. So why is he there? Why is Jesus there? Because his name represents him. That means he takes your gathering and your prayer together in agreement with special attention. I'm making sure it gets done. Because this is business. He's not going to violate his word by saying, I'm going to be absentee when you pray a prayer or gather together in my name or agree in prayer together. Guys, we should get fired up about this. Why? Because and we should all get stirred up about it. So if we need prayer and if we need somebody to help us add their faith with us because of time sensitiveness of need or urgency of need, we get an agreeer and we pray and agree and ask the Father in whose name? Amen. So we add more of a multiplier, and Jesus said it would get special attention. That's like saying, I need a time-sensitive request. Well, don't sit there in your closet and in a dark room trying to cry and pray and hope it gets through. Get somebody in faith to pray and agree with you. Get your scriptures out there and pull them up, and that's why we have Thursday prayer. We have other kinds of prayer. We can agree with you and get those prayers answered. Every time we get agreement going, answers come. Because why? His name and gathering together in his name, where two or three are gathered, gets special attention. Amen. Somebody said glory to God. All right, in spiritual combat, let's look at Mark 16, 17, and 18. So we use the name of Jesus in prayer, but we also use the name in spiritual combat. Mark 16, 17, and 18. 17. Okay, let's read together. Ready? Read. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. All right? Notice that these are all signs that will follow or accompany the believers as they go and do the Lord's work. So, look at the first sign, verse 17. Verse 17. These signs will follow them, believe in my name, they will do what? Drive out demons. So who's got to deal with the devil in your house, in your realm of influence? So the question goes back to the subject. Are you using the name? Now, let's put it this way. If any of your children, spouse, relatives that live in influential proximity to you, meaning under your roof or right down the street, and they influence your family because they're always over or involved in stuff with you, if they're not saved, are you using the name? Because we know the scripture says people don't believe because they're lost, and the god of this world, that's Satan and all his cohorts, have blinded the minds of them that don't believe. That means they can't see it. They don't understand it. They have worse than blind eyes. They have blind minds. They don't see the light of Jesus shining through you. That's a problem. Everybody say that's a problem. But that's a deal where you have to deal with the enemy. Because you're the believing one. And even in a spouse situation, the scripture gives us authority. He said the believing spouse sanctifies the unbelieving spouse. So there's opportunity and a window for you to work with. They may be acting like the devil or acting ugly, but you got the authority over the devil. Your combat is not to sit there and put on boxing gloves and try to fight the devil in your kids or fight the devil in your family. Your combat is he's trying to maintain control and dominance over those family members. Are you listening to me? And so he maintains control and dominance over those family members until you do something about it. Because the rulers of darkness, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, world, wicked spirits in the high places. And it's been said that before that the rulers of darkness control and dominate everyone who is not saved, and believers who are backslidden and give him consent or are ignorant, amen, or disobedient. So this extends to even if the devil's gotten in your spouse and they're walking away from God. They've yielded to the influence of an evil spirit and got off in the mess and not obeying the truth of God's word. What are you supposed to do? Everybody say, use the name. Use the name. Use the name. Use the name. Classic example again. We'll go back again. I think you can continue to hear this and get more understanding and more tactical details about how the Holy Spirit will work through you to do it. But Brother Hagin talks about he got a revelation. He said, I've been praying for my brother for 15 years, fasting, begging God to save him. And God wouldn't say, I'm not going to do anything to save him. I've done everything. Jesus already died. I've done everything to save. And the salvation is a big inclusive word, which also includes deliverance and healing. God's done it all in his part. He's waiting for us. So he had faith in that name. He said, well, okay, I'll take, you know, sitting right there. He stood up. He stood up Satan, I break your power over my brother Doug's life. He said, I take the name of Jesus and break your power over my brother Doug's life. He said, I'm going to go with the worst one in the family. The black sheep. The worst case scenario. Because you know if it'll work for the worst one, all the rest of them just piece of cake, right? So he said, I take the name, listen to me very close, I take the name of Jesus and I break your power. Who's he talking to? He's not talking to God. He's talking to the devil. When's the last time you used the name to talk to the devil? Now, so when we use the name in combat, we are not combating against God or combating against the angels of God. You're combating against the forces of God headed by Satan and all of his cohorts, his demons. evil spirits. So you got, sometimes you got to talk to the devil. He said, Satan, I take the name of Jesus and I break your power over my brother Dub's life. And I claim his deliverance and, salvation and full deliverance, because he needed deliverance from alcoholism and cigarettes. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's go back to John. Let's look at this. John 14, 12 through 13. Y'all getting something out of this? See, religion and legalism and all this tradition will tell you that you can't pray for yourself, you can't do nothing for yourself. But guys, ladies and gentlemen, we've been given the name. That's part of your inheritance as a believer. Look at this. Let's read it together. Ready? Read. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, this is not a prayer statement. This is a dealing with a statement. This word ask is not a word that means petition or requesting something from God. This word ask is really the word demand. Whatever you demand, if you demand anything in my name. Well, you don't demand God, but you demand the devil. Take your hands off my money. Take your hands off my child. Take your hands off my husband, my wife. Satan, I command you, and I take the name of Jesus and I come against you that's working and operating in my child's life, and I break your power over him in Jesus' name. And then so we always said this word ask, it has conveys three ideas: to command, to demand, and to claim. Everybody say it with me: command, demand, and claim. So when's the last time you commanded, demanded, and claimed something in Jesus' name? It's above every other name. So are you using the name? If sickness starts encroaching your body or your spouse's body or your child's body, are you using the name? And so Satan, take your hands. Fever, take your hands off me. Take your hands off my child. In the name of Jesus. Demand it. You know why you act when you demand something? Come on now, y'all aren't all that sophisticated. Some of y'all get real street when you want to demand something. And some of y'all get real loud and bold when you're demanding stuff. That's what you got to do to the devil. That's what you got to do with the devil. But he said, let's go back to verse 13. If you can click it back one, just click it back one. Whatever, does that limit it in any way? Whatever you demand, command, claim in my name, that will I do. In other words, it puts him on the scene like he's doing it, because you're using the name. Woo, glory to God. Are you using the name, saints? Are you using his name, friends? And you just got to look back and say, when was the last time I dealt with the devil and who was behind? Because we said all this junk we're dealing with is spiritual. How is it that your marriage has a flat tire? Who's trying to divide and conquer your marriage? Y'all yelling, arguing, and fussing. Who's that? The manifestation of strife is the manifestation of the devil. Because the Bible says where envy and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. Well, who's behind all that? Oh, don't give me the melon tonight. It's almost 8 o'clock. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on now. You got to demand it. You got to go in the closet. You don't go in their face and say, I demand you. No, who are you dealing with? Satan? Take your hands off my marriage. Take your hands off my home. You can't hardly sleep. What's all that about? You waking up with a heavy head and a heavy heart? Depressed, discouraged, despondent? What's that all about? Who's behind all that? You have to talk to the devil. But in the name. So let's go back to the story. So Brother Hagin said, I stood up and I said, Satan, I take, because that's what using is. I'm getting ready to take the name. Like you taking rice off the pantry shelf. You taking cereal off the pantry. I'm using it now. I take the name of Jesus and I break your power. He's not talking to God. I break your power over my brother Dub's life. And I claim, in the name of Jesus, his salvation and full deliverance. Amen. Well, the devil left him alone, but came back. How many know the devil comes back? He's persistent. But what do you got to do? Everybody say, use the name. Use the name to resist him. Now, in the name, you got to resist him. So he came back around. He said, a few days later, he said he was walking in the living room, getting ready, and he doesn't come up and roar and scream and holler. He just said, you don't think your brother Dove would be saved, will you? And he stopped. And he said, no, Mr. Devil, I don't think that he'll be saved. I know he'll be saved. So you respond to the devil in the name. Because I took the name of Jesus and broke your power over his life. And I claim his salvation and full deliverance. He said a week later, same spot. He's walking in the living room with a plate or glass, a cup or something in his hand. He walks over and he said, now, do you really think that your brother Doug's going to be safe? And what do? If you're silent, you lose by what? Default. Because if you stop and start saying, you know, he's really acting worse now. You didn't lose the battle. Come on now. Things are looking worse now. They're drinking heavier now. They're smoking more chain smoking now. Seem like they are never going to turn around. Well, he's already whipped you. We done already talked about saving your soul and the battle of the mind and winning that battle of the mind. Come on now, there's a battle out there. You got to use the name in combat. This is the combat right now. He's in combat. It's going on between his ears. So he said, no, Mr. Devil, I don't know. I don't think I know it. He'll be saved. Because I took the name of Jesus and I broke your power over him. And I claimed his salvation. Now, so he maintained his confession. He maintained his faith. Where? In the name. What do you and I have to do? We have to maintain our confession and maintain our faith in what? The name. Are you using the name? Are you listening to me? And so he took the name and he said his brother Dub was driving along the road in another state and had an overwhelming urge. It was 9 days since he spoke that. Yeah, he had been 15 years fasting, praying, and weeping, crying, begging God to heal, to save his brother. No result, nothing. What would we call that? We would call that misusing the name. He's not abusing it. He's misusing it. He doesn't have a value understanding of the name. He doesn't understand the scope and the worth of that name. So he's just begging God and pleading with God. and trying to get his brothers to come around and turn around. He's running from God. He's lost. He's undone. He's on his way to hell. So he's a truck driver. He's driving a truck, and an overwhelming urge came on him to get saved. And he drove off there on a Tuesday morning. No church service. On a Tuesday morning, he drives off the parking lot into a Baptist church parking lot. Drives off the road into a Baptist church park. Walks in and looks for the pastor. I need to get saved. Everybody say, use the name. Are you using that name? I didn't say it's going to be easy or the devil is going to let you. Oh, you're using the name. Go ahead. Go ahead and get your needs met. Go ahead and get your healing. Go ahead and see all your family members saved. He's not going to do that. You got to stand firm in the name. Are you listening to me? And so the name uses Jesus to be used in combat against the unseen forces that surround us. And if you can look and see in the realm of the spirit, the whole atmosphere is congested with hostile forces. They're arrayed against you all the time. So that's why I ask you, examine your life. Are you spending time speaking to the devil that's coming against you? Now, the devil is not going to come and knock on your front door and breathe flaming fire in your face and say, I'm here, and stab you in the stomach with his pitchfork. No, that's not the devil. He's going to manifest in forms of evil that come up in your life. Poverty and lack is evil. Pain and sickness and disease is evil. Are you listening to me? Marital disharmony and breakup, family unrest and upheaval is evil. Use the name. Hallelujah. Everybody say, we have authority in the name of Jesus against all the powers of darkness. Hallelujah. Go ahead and stand with me. We're going to pick it up there next week about healing, using the name in healing. That's the whole back page. We'll spend time with that. Praise God. Come on, lift your hands up in the name. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.